A report from downwind 3 years after the nuclear power disaster in Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Japan's Prime Minister and the Emperor Akihito spoke today to mark 3 years since a 9.0 earthquake caused a tsunami, which led to the Fukushima nuclear disaster. More than 200,000 people still can't return home. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is just back from a town called Namye, just 3 miles from the nuclear plant. Rupert, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, David.
There are a lot of people very concerned about the longer-term effects of radiation in the town you've just come from.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different concerns. One is there's a very, very strong fear of thyroid cancer. This largely comes from the experience of Chernobyl back in the 1980s. Actually, all the evidence that we've managed to gather and the experts we've spoken to suggest that the children in Japan do not face a very high risk of getting thyroid cancer because the radiation was much lower and because the Japanese dealt with it a lot better. And then there is a second issue, which is all of these people who've been moved out of their homes and are still away from their homes 3 years on, can't go back. They're starting to die at really an alarming rate, especially the old ones. And this is a combination of stress, anxiety, depression, suicide. They now have registered 1,600 deaths associated with being evacuated from that area.
Now, of course, all this influences the perception of nuclear power throughout Japan, but it is a country that does need electricity.
It does, and you can see it in the trade figures. The first month of this year, January, Japan ran its biggest trade deficit ever, and that is because Japan is now importing vast quantities of, for example, natural gas to burn, to make electricity, and that's electricity that would have been generated by the nuclear power plants, which are still currently completely shut down.
What about the push toward alternative energy in Japan?
Well, you'd think there would be, and you know, there's an increase in solar power, there's talk of wind farms, there's talk of using tidal power, that Japan has a lot of tidal and geothermal power in Japan. Of course, it sits on top of the Pacific Rim of Fire. But the industrial lobby here, what they call the nuclear village, is still very, very powerful. It's very well connected with the government. There are 48 nuclear power plants that are already built, and I think there's a big momentum to get them running again.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes speaking from Tokyo. Rupert, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 0.4% at the moment. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong, after its miserable Monday, closed essentially flat today. After the Dow fell 34 points yesterday, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down this morning. GM stock is down 1.6% in pre-market trading. There's word that Congress will now investigate why it took so long to recall GM cars with fatally flawed ignition switches. Congress plans tough questions for both GM and federal regulators. Manpower Group does a quarterly survey asking employers about hiring and firing. Today's data looks promising, with 19% more of the employers surveyed planning on increasing staff. Pharmacy giant Walgreens recently announced it's begun using predictive software to help guide the treatment of patients. Can algorithms wring waste out of the medical system and improve care? From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports the path to slowing health costs may mean medical care looks a bit more like factory work.
Walgreens executives think they may be onto something. The pharmacy chain is working with the IT firm Inovalon, which, using data from more than 100 million patients, has developed algorithms to predict health problems. Heather Helley, who oversees Walgreens' clinic business, says that data helps guide a nurse practitioner during a patient's visit.
You can think about it almost like a decision tree, where if the answer to a particular question is no, the system will guide the nurse practitioner down one particular path. If the answer to a question was yes, the system will intelligently guide the nurse practitioner down a second path.
So let's say a patient's record shows he's got multiple symptoms for diabetes, but no official diagnosis. The computer flags that, and the Walgreens nurse practitioner zeroes in.
We're able to streamline the visit, we're able to reduce variations, and we're able to deliver incredible value.
Whether it's this predictive modeling, patient safety protocols at Johns Hopkins, or Camden Doctor's Office using new scheduling techniques, many in healthcare say the industry must industrialize. This may sound like some healthcare version of painting by numbers, and former Denver Health CEO Patricia Gabbo says executives can overdo it when it comes to standardizing care.
Not just any routine. Could be a routine that's very wasteful or a routine that doesn't yield a high quality.
Another concern is if the rules are too rigid, patient care could suffer. But right now, Harvard Business School professor Clayton Christensen says a lack of doctor routines is threatening patient safety and driving up costs. Routines, like Walgreens algorithms, may sound scary, says Christensen, but really, they're just a way of sharing decades worth of doctors' knowledge with people you don't have to pay like doctors.
Nurse practitioners can do even more consistently what doctors do today.
Christensen says healthcare costs will go down as lower caregivers do more and more. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And New Zealand's prime minister is taking on a branding problem of national proportions. As some Kiwis see it, the New Zealand flag looks too Australian? Quite British, too, with a Union Jack in the corner. In a speech today, Prime Minister John Key called for a public vote on a new flag within 3 years. The Prime Minister himself is into a black flag with the outline of a fern. Some say that looks like something a pirate would hoist, but what kind of pirate's going to have a sweet little fern? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.